I'm Phil Pringle, and welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast. Thanks for joining us today from wherever you are in the world. C3 Church Global is a family of almost 600 churches around the world, and this podcast is all about equipping pastors and leaders to lead healthy, growing, and multiplying churches. We are Christ-centered, Spirit-powered, and Connect-driven. Every week on this podcast, you will find new and uplifting content to strengthen you, equip you, and help you lead others into a relationship with Christ. You'll find a mix of devotionals that build your faith and your relationship with Christ, as well as rich and empowering conversations with leaders and friends in ministry from around the world. We also bring inspiring testimonies and updates from our pastors and churches throughout the C3 movement on the 64 nations that we're present in. Here's this week's podcast. Everybody, welcome to our C3 Church Global Podcast. Such a delight this week. We're talking with Mark and Bernadette Kelsey. Welcome, guys.
Thank you, Pastor
Phil. So good to be here.
So good.
Yeah, well, we've known each other now for, 42 years?
43, almost coming up to 44.
44, exactly. Well, I don't know if that's significant or not, yeah. But I do believe that our best years are ahead of us.
Oh, absolutely.
And you've been two of the finest people to be in an apostolic team in planting churches all around the world and training leaders. And it's a delight to have been working with you for so long.
It's been an amazing journey, hasn't it, babe?
It has. And love it.
The greatest ride of our lives. Incredible.
We pinch ourselves. How do we get to do this?
And there's more adventures to come.
Yeah, we're going to jump into your current profile and roles shortly, but I just want to recap a few interesting moments. When you first came to our church, that was an interesting moment because we'd just changed buildings. Mm. And this was in 1980.
1980, yeah.
And we just changed buildings and you were coming to the old building, but we weren't there anymore.
That's right. Yeah, we heard about this new church and it was at the DY Surf Club. So it was Sunday afternoon. We jumped in our car and drove to the DY Surf Club.
Yep.
Only to find that there was nobody there.
Yeah.
And we sat in the car park pretty downhearted.
Forlorn.
Yes. And we just waited there. We didn't even move. And then suddenly a car pulled in and it was you'd sent Paul O'Connell back down to see if any new people had showed up, which we Crazy. Are so thankful for, that you were the kind of leader that was had that sort of attention to detail. And he came and he wound his window down and said, "Are you looking for the church?" And we said, "We are." And he said, "Follow me." And we drove up to Oaks Ave to the little Catholic school hall that you had moved into.
Yep. And there would have been, 30 people in there?
Yeah, not even, I reckon. I reckon about 20 people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was very clearly an old piano, Alison Easterbrook.
Yeah.
David Kabakoff was on the violin. That was the beginning of the music.
So funny.
Amazing. And but it was love at first sight.
And we walked in and literally, I mean, now it's become a bit of a thing, a bit of a saying, but we literally turned to each other and simultaneously said, "We're home."
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it instantly knew that that was it.
I love the story because sometimes we think if we just had one more camera, we'd get more people.
Yeah.
If we had just had a set of lights over there, if we just had this new keyboard,
yeah.
If only we had the right seats, honestly, we had zero. We had 20 people,
mm-hmm.
None of that, a honky-tonk old out-of-tune piano, and still people came in.
Exactly.
And felt, we're home, for goodness sake.
I know.
Exactly.
Nothing flashy.
No.
But that heart connection. And then you and Chris came up to us afterwards and invited us around for dinner on Wednesday night. I mean, we were pretty obvious spot the visitors. I mean, we were amongst 20.
Exactly.
It wasn't that hard. But we thought, and we were like, wow, the pastors have talked to us. And we went around for dinner Wednesday night and dished up a beautiful roast dinner. And then at 7:30, all these people started rocking in the door and it was Connect Group night. And then we merged into the Connect group as well, and that became our Wednesday night ritual. So
yeah,
it was amazing.
Yeah, I think that story is possibly, it's repeated hundreds of times in our churches, but people, especially church planters and pastors, need to understand that it's not actually flash equipment. It's the presence of God in a meeting, which can come regardless of what's going on with singing and worship, and then connect with meals.
Yeah. Exactly. That's where we learned everything in those early days. Yeah. It was, you know, we weren't in a sort of a training classroom or anything. We actually experienced it. And pretty much that's all we've ever done since, is just followed that pattern of, you know, connecting with people, having people in your home, and then people pick it up as well, and they go ahead and do the same thing. And we're so thankful to you and Chris for that, because you taught us the Jesus way right at the outset.
Yeah, well, thank you, and we're deeply thankful for you. Yeah, I sometimes wonder if Connect groups should just be just eating together.
Mm.
And if you advertised it more like your son has, Josh, in New York, dinner parties, it takes all the burden of people trying to get a message together or trying to organize a kind of like a church meeting in a house.
Yeah.
But just if we just thought about eating together, and certainly that was the way of the early church, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I was studying just a little bit more on the hospitality space, and I was reading a book called A Meal with Jesus. And I think the guy's name's Robert Karras. He's a theologian, but he basically talked about Jesus in the Gospel of Luke going, he was either going to a meal, at a meal, or coming from a meal, you know, and that was.
I know, he's such a foodie.
I know.
Jesus. He's always into food.
Always.
He walks into a room, he says, what do you got to eat?
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
I'm coming to your house.
I'm coming to your place. You know.
I'm coming to your house.
Yeah.
I mean, even when he's risen from the dead,
comes
in the room, guy's got anything to eat?
And
he's hungry.
Then he's on the beach.
Yeah,
hey, you guys want some fish?
And he was doing the cooking.
Yeah, I know. Like I said, he's like chef, master chef. and then the first thing that we do after the resurrection of the dead and we arrive in heaven, marriage supper. Let's eat.
It's a big part of it.
So there is something very bonding about eating together, and I think we underestimate it at our loss.
We got to bring back the table. I mean, we've been talking about that
more
a lot.
And more.
More and more. Bring back the table. Because that's where true community is formed, I think.
It is.
And,
back to the issue at hand, where we're talking about, you know, the Express thing. How's the food at Express? Like, you all eat together there? I've been to one or two.
Yeah, well, that's actually part of it. I mean, because it's experiential and immersive, and hopefully at the outcome is that it's transformational for people's lives. So we actually do everything together.
Yeah.
So the day starts with us all rising early, praying together. Then we train together, so the whole exercise thing, just focus on that physical health, and then we go into sessions, but all of the meals, we eat every meal together, and it's amazing what happens over the meal, because you're getting content during the day, but then you're sitting together and it's what happens again. It's like the questions, the conversations, the breaking bread together in that space. And, you know, we always say it's not a conference. There's no green rooms. We're all in this together. And so it's not really like let us come and tell you about it. It's really show and tell. So we do everything together. And I think that that's the transformational part of it too, because as we do it together, I think what the kind of leaders that we're wanting to see developed are these leaders that will go out and do that in their churches as well, you know, be with the people, like be shepherds that are with the sheep, you know.
Totally. I think, the modeling is the handbook.
Yeah.
It's not a written on pages handbook. This is our culture. It's when what we do, people reproduce and take away with them.
Yep.
And that obviously is a super important area. Like back on the Express course that you've been running now for quite a long time. We recently did a podcast with yourselves and John Pierce, and it was obvious that Express has played such a significant role over the last 20 years in terms of developing current leaders. And not only that, developing community, because a lot of the guys who have done the course together have this enduring relationship from then on in ministry and in the movement. So in terms of Express, let's have a look at its history, why it started, how it started, and what was the vision then?
Yeah, I mean, we, as you know, planted the first C3 church in US in Long Island, New York.
Right.
And then we were there for, 9 years. And then we just felt this very strong call back to Sydney, but back to you and Chris, really. And then the only two things the Lord spoke to us about was go and serve Pastor Phil and Chris and church planting. So that was the impetus, but there was nothing, and neither of us and even yourself were like, okay, we weren't sure what that meant. Mm. Came back, had a meeting with you, and we formed a course called the International School of the Church, and it was fairly ISOC, and we did that for a year. It was a day a week for a year, teaching on church planting essentially, and giving our experience. Pretty well all the things you shouldn't do to potential church planters. But we realized after a while that hardly anyone could get to that. If they lived outside of Sydney, then they couldn't get access to that. So we came up with this thought, why don't we do an intensive so people from various parts of the world can come, make it 5 days so it's achievable. And then as we started to think that through, going, okay, well, what could that look like? Why don't we do experiential? Why don't we do holistic? So instead of it just being classroom time, why don't we make it incarnational so that we're actually doing it with them and not just talking about it? So that's where the spirit, soul, and body aspect of it came in. And then we started dreaming and said, okay, well, let's start leadership development as well and some team building exercises. So we threw in all these crazy exercises where people had to rescue people out of the bush and learn how to build teams. We had helicopters landing and all sorts of crazy stuff. But the point being is that we wanted to do something different outside of the classroom teaching session or a conference thing, which is more of a sense of the presence of God or great preachers and teachers. But let's hang, because something happens over one day, that's wonderful, 2 days, but by the third day, this sense of, I don't know, the connection starts to happen, the revelation, all the pennies start dropping. Mm. And by the fifth day, something has taken place where the lights go on and they go, I get it. It's about whatever. And even if they take home one thing and we say to them, look, you're going to hear 1,000 things this week, but take home one or two key things for you and your church that's going to really make a difference. So that key revelation. So but it happens in the immersive, intensive environment. And that was, that was the beginning. We've just developed it over time. We had a bit of a hiatus for a few years. Been the last probably 6 or 7 years, it's returned. And now instead of basing in Sydney, we take it to the regions. And so we've done one in most regions around our movement.
What's the big takeaway that people talk about the most after they've been at Express?
I think in a few areas, probably in marriage and family, there's been some big shifts for people's lives, their thinking, their approach, their understanding. And I'd say the other area would be in the leader going back and focusing up on team building. We had a couple of guys, they'd just started the church. They were a couple of weeks in, and it was a big aha moment for them going, I've got to spend more time investing in the core team, building that team and getting that team building teams, So that would be, what would you say?
Totally that. I think the whole leadership development sort of focus, discipleship, obviously, but developing leaders is a huge takeaway. Mm. I think the revelation of physical health, definitely, or the holistic approach to life. Like we've had leaders, even recently, one in the last 3 months, this particular pastor was taking over a church, lost 10 kilos in the last 3 months. We had a young leader in the Philippines lose, I think, 25 kilos.
Yeah.
And it really saved his marriage. He wrote to us and said, this has actually transformed my marriage because the health aspect of it. So I think, because one of the things we say, and I mentioned it, I think, in the last podcast, was that we talk about, look, God's the healer. He is responsible for healing, but we're responsible for our health. And it's this partnership. So we say, we keep saying to them, look, it's not, you can't get fit in 5 days, but it's what you do Monday after Express that will determine what the next 10 or 20 years of your life looks like. And we keep saying to them, Monday's coming. So it's become a bit of a hashtag. It's what shifts are you going to bring next Monday, whether it's health or whether it's your marriage or whether it's leadership or whatever it is. So it's that, I don't know, it's that transformational shift thing. You know, hopefully something individual to them and what they need to focus on next is the key that takes them into the future.
Totally. We've always been into kind of being healthy, fit anyway, and staying on top of the challenges of living with a lot of sugar around and fat and what have you. And I think also we felt like the image or the picture of a minister in our particular brand of Christianity was looking a little heavy.
Yeah.
And no matter whether you like it or not, people reach a judgment about you within 6 seconds. And coming into church, there's a whole range of things that you can't talk about if you're not taking care of these areas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And discipline and being a disciple involves, you know, the evidence of discipline. And I mean, there's just some obvious factors. Jesus lived in a day when everybody walked.
Yeah.
Or rode horses or whatever. We live in a very sedentary society where we drive everywhere and even the kids get driven and we're on buses or on trains or planes. And so our sort of normal ability to stay fit is, it has to be intentional.
It's got to be intentional.
Jesus had the best Mediterranean diet, obviously. I mean, that's all he had.
It was awesome.
I mean, the doctors now say, you know, Mediterranean diet. Mm. I mean, I think the other thing is the impact, the health has impact on families, right? And it's like even just their ability.
Generationally. To get that into our kids and then our kids' kids. So it's all tracking down the line, you know.
And even being healthy to spend time with your kids. I mean, some of the pastors, one of the feedback has happened quite a few times is I have now the energy to play with my kids. Something
incredible.
As simple as that could transform the even the functioning of a family and the health of that ministry family and the longevity of that, I think, is super important.
Yeah, well, I think some people's theology needs a bit of attention too. Like it's almost Gnostic saying the body is irrelevant. The flesh is, you know, like it we don't need to worry about that. It's my spiritual life that's all important. But the point is becoming spiritual beings doesn't make us any less human.
No.
And we've got a body that we need to look after. We've got a soul and a spirit and a mind. All of these and God is so into like the body that he became one. He came to earth in one. And the resurrection is not about your spirit coming up out of the ground. It's your body.
Yes.
And Jesus was raised bodily. That's the power of the resurrection. So it's not like God regards it as irrelevant. And I think all of us can do with motivation in this area. I mean, the most sold books in the world are diet books. Do you know what the second most sold books in the world?
Tell us.
Cooking books. food book. Or it might be the other way around, but it's like, what a vicious cycle.
That is a vicious cycle.
Yeah, it's a plot. Yeah, so, it is.
But that is one of the unique factors about the Express Course and why we sort of put it as part of it, right?
Yeah,
and you got
totally.
You got the warrior.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
By the way, I saw him this morning and he knew we were doing this podcast. So he just said, please give all his Express friends a shout out from the warrior. So I can say I did that.
Explain to everybody watching this podcast who he is.
He's been my
I would say personal trainer, because it's a group of guys close to where we live and we train at the beach, and he is the trainer. He's the sandhill warrior. The word, the phrase sandhill comes from the fact that we run the sandhills of a beach near us. He is a
That's hard. He is
a legend. He is, you know, he's not young anymore, but he just one of these guys that keeps going and is a great motivator to help people understand this part of life. And he's a lot of fun. Anybody who has done Express, he's done Express with us in New Zealand, Australia, and Fiji. And they just love him. And
yeah,
he's
they
great.
Fall in love and they all stay in contact with him. And they love his sayings, you know. And when you're up to sort of 40 push-ups or whatever, and he tells us that the biggest muscle in the body is the six inches
between our ears,
you know, and it's the brain telling us, no, I can't do any more. And he's like, yes, you
and
can.
Was it pain is weakness leaving the body. was it sweat is fat crying? I love that one.
I love it. That's awesome. Yeah. So it is, it's such a unique area and it's the standout experience that everybody groans and moans and celebrates at the same time.
Yeah, that's
exactly.
But
I know I get in on Express through videos mostly. I have done a few in person, but I can't always make it. And then you have other sessions on that are crucial to leadership and church planning, right?
In May 2024, we are gathering in Singapore for the Outpouring, a C3 Church Global Conference. I personally want to invite you to join with us in Singapore. We hear the sound of an enormous outpouring of the Holy Spirit for the next season for the church around the world. And you and I will be part of it, pouring our lives out on the altar together in Singapore. Every C3 church around the world will receive fresh fire and be renewed with fresh oil for a new day of increase across the whole earth. Young men and women from around the world being touched by God are seeing visions and declaring the future. This conference is open to the whole C3 family. Bring your pastors, leaders, board members, youth leaders, worship leaders, creative teams, business people, and influencers. This will be a historic breakthrough event. It's time for revival. Head to c3churchglobal.com to register.
And then you have other sessions on that are crucial to leadership and church planning, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what's fantastic as we've taken it into the regions, Pastor Phil, is working with the regional directors who are amazing.
Yeah.
And then further to that, bringing into that Express Week people who are bringing content and delivering content, you know, so just finding the best that we've got out there in the regions and them coming in and delivering those sessions, which is really incredible. So
fantastic.
We're just loving the fact that two things, that we're connecting people across the regions to each other, but also to getting people delivering content from the movement, and they're just incredible. And in some ways it's the best kept secret, who we have in our midst as a family.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. And I think one of the highlights for us in 2023 has been we were in Africa with Rock in East and West Africa, and this particular Express we did there, people that we trained 5 years ago are now there at Express delivering content and doing Express
Fantastic.
With everybody. So just the development of those lives is just such, it's gold.
It is total gold.
Yeah. What are some of the key subjects?
So each day is a different theme. The the flow of each day is the same, like Bernie said, with the prayer, workout, and then download, and then team building. But each day is a different theme. So day one is personal world. Day two is church systems and structures. Day three is you the leader. Day four is you the minister. And day five is what's next. So each the subjects really flow into those themes. So instead of going all over the place on a particular day, we really hone down. So in the personal world day, we talk about your holistic health. Then we talk about emotional health, mental health, financial health, family and marriage and family health. So that's that. And on the church systems day, we talk about, okay, well, how does a healthy church structure, what does it look like? What are the universal biblical principles of a healthy growing church? And then what are the principles of multiplication? Then leadership day, we talk about vision, culture, strategic leadership, etc. So, and then ministry day, the highlight is your session. You open it up with talking about the centrality of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we are ministers of the Spirit. Then we talk about preaching, teaching, etc.
Developing a theological craft.
Developing a sound theology, etc.
Fantastic.
There's a lot covered.
Oh, yeah. What is, I know that this last year, I looked at your schedule and the year before, and I know that level of travel. I know what that feels like, that level of traveling personally, because Chris and I have been doing quite a bit of it ourselves this year. But you managed to get around quite a few nations. And can you tell us some of the places you went and the highlights of those places?
We were in six regions.
Yes. Yep.
I think how many nations were represented?
I'm not sure. Well, we did Pacific,
yes,
Fiji and New Zealand, so separate ones. I think one of the highlights in that one was the first one we did in Fiji. And so that was, I don't know, something very powerful happened there. There was a...
Because Steve and Dawn and the New Zealand crew have been investing into Fiji for a long time. And so it really wasn't about us or Express. I mean, a lot of work has been invested there, but something finally popped in Fiji, in 23 for those guys, and it all happened in that space of, you know, the Express time. And from there it was off to...
Here we go. We did Europe. Europe was great because... there were 13 nations in our movement represented in one Express, because obviously Europe is so diverse nationally and culturally. I think one of the great things about the highlights for Express Europe was that Richard Green came, who is the apostolic church planting guru, and he brought a bunch of his leaders from Ukraine and
Uzbekistan
and from Serbia.
Yeah.
And they came and connected with a lot of the European guys. So this sort of family connection took place in that context as well. So that was cool. We did USA for the first time.
That was amazing. The first time I actually got to bring Josh in to be delivering content.
Yeah.
And Joe and Christine were there.
Yeah, your son and daughter-in-law.
It was a really special time.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
And then where else? We did Africa, East and West again, but then we did Southern Africa for the first time, and that was great. And
wow.
The great thing about Southern Africa, run by Judy and Anil, there were six nations represented there. So there was Botswana,
amazing.
Zambia, so all these leaders who we'd never met.
Yes.
And this very rich, wonderful African culture, which is part of our global family. It's amazing.
Yeah, you need to have dance classes.
Okay. Highlight. At the end of East and West Africa, we did the award. We have an awards thing on the last night. Spontaneously, well, Rock initiated it.
Well, yeah, Rock's incredible.
He just planned it. This dance party broke out after dinner that just went for hours.
Sensational.
And the staff who joined,
they joined in
this dance party.
Highlight from that, we'll love this, that... The team that were the staff team where we were staying
at the conference center,
six of them gave their lives to Jesus at the end of the week.
So wonderful.
And that's a first.
Yeah.
And I think I think that, that beautiful culture that we have of just, you know, connectedness and togetherness, and, but then
fun. Yeah.
Being able to have fun as we do this, because, you know, it's full on church planting, you know, getting that seed in the ground, it's hard work, but also being able to have fun as we do it. And loved it.
Well, again, I think it's a theological problem when people think Christians just got to be so serious all the time and have no fun.
Yeah.
But laughter, I've found, is a signature of highly spiritual people.
Totally.
Who are close to God. In his presence is fullness of joy. Yeah, laughter is good like a medicine.
Yeah, totally.
I think, again, it's not something you have written in a handbook. It's modeled in amongst us. And I always think that, man, when you get together, a laughing congregation is a loving congregation.
It is.
Totally. It really works well.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to 2024. What's in store this year in 2024?
Well,
Seven Expresses.
Well, first of all, we've got the global gathering in May in Singapore, which will be awesome. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we're launching out. We've got Seven Expresses. So back to Fiji, Indonesia, USA and Canada combination. Hey, we're in the first time in South America this year in Brazil, which will be fantastic. Back to Australia, another one in Southern Africa, and then for the first time in South Asia. So we're going to India. So,
it's going to be fun. Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
So pray for us as we pray for you, because your crazy travel schedule as well.
Yeah, I know. Well, you and I have been in India before.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Just avoiding the traffic will be enough of a, you know, like.
A mission.
That's amazing.
Yeah, exactly.
And so how would people, like, if they were interested in jumping on board, because you've got limited spaces in it generally, haven't you?
Yeah, we do.
What would they do if somebody was listening to this and they said, man, I think I'd like to come with one or two of my team?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's for church planters or about to church plant.
Or emerging leaders.
Key emerging leaders and in some cases, lead pastors who really need a refresher and really to.
Yeah, a lot of the time it's guys already in the ministry.
Yeah.
Just getting away with a couple of their team.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Resetting.
So if they're part of the movement, all they need to do is talk to their regional director. Mm. If they're part of a church, like that's if they're a lead pastor or a church planter. If they're part of a church and a leader, talk to their pastor and then they can talk to the regional director. And there'll be lots of advertising and marketing within each region where we're going. So if you're listening to this podcast, you'll hear about it. So talk to either your lead pastor or talk to your regional director.
Even if there's, you know, pastors thinking of joining C3, could be a good intro onboarding for them.
Sure. Oh, yeah, we've had
to
that
find
too.
Out whether they really want to or not.
I think they might be turned off after
first day.
Yeah.
Actually, we have had that happen, which is wonderful.
Yeah, exactly.
Fantastic. So we're also in the throes of, we're still in the blueprinting better stage, I guess you could say, of the Global Leadership Academy coming up. Tell us what you've so far come up with on this. I mean, I know it's a group discussion that we're having at present, designing this.
Yeah.
But tell us where we're up to.
Yeah, well, that's obviously mostly John and also Jace and the team that are putting it together. I had a good meeting with Jace last week, but it's coming together. They've already filmed the first lot of videos. So interestingly enough, now the whole purpose of Global Leadership Academy is to put in the hands of every lead pastor in C3 a discipleship program. That's the basic core of it, and to develop leaders from the Connect Group leader on up to, you know, key leaders, department leaders, et cetera. And the way it's been designed is we're following the same thematic as the themes
Express.
As Express. Mm. So it is, you know,
personal world,
church structures, leadership, and ministry. And so they've got the best of the best in our movement in a whole bunch, a range of subjects in each of those themes. And then there's, I think there's four terms per year and five sessions per term. And that you know, filmed content with notes will be provided to every lead pastor. And it's, I think, just a great resource to develop and disciple leaders. It's going to be amazing.
Totally.
It's in the pilot stage right now, but once it gets through that, it'll be available to all of our movement when maybe iron out a few bugs here and there. And but it's, I think it's going to be an amazing resource.
Exactly. Yeah, so just coming to a close on this podcast. Thanks for listening, everybody. It's always a privilege and an honor to be able to share with you and to serve as best we can ministers and leaders and churches and people who are following us on this podcast. But I do think the most important thing about Bible colleges, training, systems, training, growth tracks, et cetera, that we put in place in church. It's actually, the content is important, obviously. It's not so much what is taught, it's who's teaching. Because their spirit, their attitude, their demeanor, their lifestyle, all of that is what gets imparted into the students, and that's disciple making. No doubt. And I've always been so impressed with Mark and Bernie's lives, personally, their attitude and the way they've come through battles and trials, as any minister who's effective is going to find. There are sufficient challenges to make sure you stay humble and to make sure you're still on the fighting cutting edge. It's but one of the, looking over the years, Mark and Bernie, I just wanted to finish more on a kind of a reflective note, I guess, about spiritual values. One of the incredible spiritual values you have, and obviously a number of our team, is faithfulness and loyalty through trials. And I know you've had other trials where you've proven yourselves to be great overcomers and a man and a woman of great faith. But I do know that there was one stage where there was a particular person who was attempting to dissuade you from being in our team and trying to draw you away. And that same person did the same with some others and managed to actually succeed in actually getting a couple of these guys to go away, to take off and join them, which actually all came to nothing. And I think they really lost their way in all sorts of areas. But I know that in that moment, you decided you'd stick with us and stay true. And I always find in the development of a man or a woman of God, there is a loyalty test. And from another leader, there's several tests that I would say can be identified, like serving under a difficult leader like David with Saul, et cetera, et cetera. But the loyalty test seems to me to be one that God puts people through before he starts building on them. He just wants to know that they're going to stick with the program under all kinds of circumstances. And I think, I just wanted to say that about you, that I really have appreciated that faithfulness, the loyalty, the strength of support that we've had as a team together to get this far and to see the future. And because of that, we've been able to build all these training courses, all these churches. We've got 45 new churches coming into being in this 12-month bracket right now. And I believe that people think, oh, wow, what's your program? What's your system? But honestly, I think it's who's the people is a better question.
Yes.
And I don't know if you want to make a comment to that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think you don't know it's a loyalty test at the time. Yeah, you don't know it. You're just like, what is happening here, God? What is going on? And so you've got to, I think for Mark and I, we've dug deep and we've gone, honestly, we know that God has called us to you and to Chris, and we go to that place. And I think we've lived with, none of us are perfect, and there's no perfect church, but there is a perfect church designed by God and given to us as a gift, and we've stayed with that. We've just dug deep in those times when you don't know it's a loyalty test and gone, no, God is, we know we're called We know we're called to this. We know we're called to Phil and Chris, and we know we're called to C3, and we're so grateful for it. And we think, where else would we go? Honestly, what else is there?
Exactly.
What about?
I mean, and I think, like Bernie said, I think we figured out it's not just what you're called to, but who you're called to. And I think that and that sense of cohesion and community and the group of people that ultimately you're going to be doing life with. And to divert away from that and to do something, find something else. I mean, why do that? And then I think the unity battle is probably the biggest battle in the church.
It is.
Ephesians 4 obviously talks about the two things. It's the unity of the Spirit and diversity of gifts and the combination when there's a spirit of unity and when there's empowerment of people's gifts, you've got a mature body and something can really grow and have an effect on the world. But the first battle is the unity battle, and I think that's the one that the enemy initially jumps into. And unless we get that revelation that our behavior and response either adds to the unity or adds to disunity, then I think it's a big rev for us as leaders, you know.
Yeah, I love it. There's a scripture that says, "Let no man take your crown."
Mm.
Interesting, huh?
Yeah. Mm.
That means that we've been given authority and power and leadership, but actually somebody else could take it if you just, you know, if you let it go, if you drop away from it.
Mm.
So all of us have been given a destiny.
Mm.
And I think, like you said, Bernadette, that was so well said, there's no perfect church, but there is a church that's perfect for you.
Yeah. Mm.
And that church is a network of relationships that are divinely orchestrated by God. And together we form a sympathy, a symphony. We form a symphony, and maybe the other as well.
Yeah.
But it's like together we're going to achieve so much more than we ever would on our own. And it's keeping it together, like you say, Mark, the fight for unity.
Yes.
You got to fight for it. You got to fight your own attitudes.
Yeah. Yep.
You got to fight your own language. You fight your own what other people are saying, and say, we've been called not just on our own, but together.
Yeah.
I think that's a big message for the church today.
That's very true.
We're not just called to be a ministry on our own, but we're actually called together, two by two. God always does things in teams, and even he's a team.
Yeah.
And I think that, so I think that it's like, thank you for being on the team. Uh-huh. And we need to have thousands more Mark and Bernadette Kelseys in the world. And I think as
you're too kind.
Work on this express, we'll see a magnificent reproduction happening all around the world
And thank you for being like leaders that have believed in us, because I think that's the other side of the loyalty, faithfulness thing is that you and Chris are good shepherds. You've believed in us. You've released us. I mean, even Express has really come out of your generosity in releasing us to do what God's put inside of us. So, you know, we're so thankful for that. We're
forever thankful. Mm. And you keep doing it. You're the most empowering leader that exists.
Well, you see, it's a sneaky kind of strategy, because other people get to do a lot of work and achieve all of the things that you're dreaming of. But no, I do agree with that. It's delegating and imparting and giving to helping people find their sweet spot. And what a privilege we have to help people find their meaning in life, their sweet spot, their gifting and calling. And how good is that to see people? Like we were talking about some new pastors just before and new roles that they've got, and to see them rise into their sweet spot for that season of their life, because it changes. And to continue growing a church movement where people are actually in ministry happily. I love that.
Love that.
It's the greatest joy.
Yep.
Yeah.
So thanks guys for all you do. And we'll talk again soon. Thanks everybody for listening in, and trust you enjoyed this episode. I know it will help you, and share it with somebody else who you thought of while you were listening to this, you thought that those guys could really be helped with this. Well, share it, like it, leave a comment, and we'll look forward to talking again soon. God bless you.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us. If you're a pastor or a leader, we'd love to connect with you. Throughout the year, around the world, at our regional gatherings are a great opportunity for pastors to come and discover who we are as a movement. Or if you simply want to come and be refreshed and blessed, you're more than welcome. If you're interested, reach out at hello@c3churchglobal.com. That's hello@c3churchglobal.com. See you again soon.